Good evening. It's good to be back with you and to join with you in the evening service. Again, we'd like to thank our brother for the words of welcome and invitation even to come along and to be with you today around God's Word. If you have your Bible, could you turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the first book of Kings, 1 Kings. We're turning to the 17th chapter this evening, and we're going to read from the verse 1 through to the end of verse 16. I'm sure a well-known passage to most, if not all. And even from children, we have heard the story of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And the word of God says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did, according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him flesh, bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. We do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own inerrant word. With God's word open before us, perhaps we could bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help. And could I ask you please to stand while we pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for another opportunity, yea, Lord, another privilege to come and to meet around thy word. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that thy word ever liveth. Lord, we thank thee that thy word is as relevant in the day and age that we live as it was in the day when it was penned. Lord, we thank thee that the message of thy word is still the same. Lord, we thank thee that the way of the gospel is made plain. Lord, we read of Christ who came from the splendor of heaven and went willingly to Calvary's cross, having lived that perfect, sinless life. And there he gave his life willingly. And his precious blood was poured out, that blood that atones for the sins of those who will call upon his name in faith and repentance. But Lord, we praise thee that thou didst rise again on the third day and art seated in heaven. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art still in the saving of souls. Lord, we thank thee that thou art interested here in us, here even in this place this evening. But blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst come and move amongst us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give help to preacher and hearer alike. O Lord, the devil would do many things to steal away our attention. Lord, to cause distraction. But Lord, we pray that our minds will be focused upon Thee and Thy so great salvation. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst come, that Thou wouldst move from seat to seat, from heart to heart. Blessed Spirit, that Thou would convict men and women, boys and girls of their need of soul salvation. Lord, we pray that even this evening that there would be rejoicing in the courts of heaven over souls coming to put their trust in Thee as Lord and Saviour. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst tarry with us. Continue on. Blessed Holy Spirit, come and tabernacle amongst us. May Thy name be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Throughout Scripture, we find many different types of people in all sorts of situations. Those at the top of society and those at the bottom. Those who are respected and those who are despised. Tonight, I want to think for a few moments about someone who certainly could be considered to be at the very bottom of the ladder. In real terms, this woman of whom we have read was down and out. And perhaps that's how you feel this evening, dear friend. I don't know your circumstances, but praise God, I know one who does. And tonight we want to see the one who can change your life. Or you may say, preacher, I am in such a state, I am in such a condition, you know nothing about my circumstances, and there's nothing that anyone can do for me. It's too late, things are too bad, and there's no way out of the mess that I am in. Well, can I please ask for a few moments of your time this evening as we consider God's word? Let us hear what God has to say concerning someone who had reached rock bottom, someone for whom all seemed to be hopeless. In the passage which we read, Elijah had delivered the word to King Ahab. His message was a message of judgment. The judgment of God upon a nation which had turned its back on the worship of the true God, Jehovah, and had begun to worship the idols of the heathen nations round about. His message was that because of their sin, a drought would come upon the land. The Lord then told Elijah to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith, and there he would be provided for in a remarkable way. This would show Elijah of God's faithfulness to his word and even prepare him for the next task that the Lord had for him, for the next part of his mission. Elijah was sent by the Lord as the brook began to dry to the city of Zarephath, or Serptah as it's mentioned in the New Testament by the Lord, a city of Sidon, outside of the borders of Israel. And there he was told that he would find a widow woman who would take care of him. And sure enough, as Elijah approached that city, he found the woman of whom the Lord had told him. Well, the words of the Lord must have been strange to Elijah, for a more unlikely person could have not been chosen to care for him. This evening, let us examine the situation of one who was truly down and out. Our passage introduces us to this woman. And you know, friend, she was in a fearful position. I want us to see, firstly, that this woman had financial problems. In those days, the widows lived very much on the little that they could do for themselves. They had little resources, and they depended on what they could grow for themselves and the generosity of others round about them. In the days of Moses, the Lord had set down guidelines on how the widows in Israel were to be cared for. One such example of this can be found in the book of Ruth. Ruth had become a widow at the death of her husband, but when her mother-in-law Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, Ruth pledged to go with her. As a widow, she was entitled by God's decree to glean in the harvest fields that which the reapers or those who were harvesting the grain left behind. By doing so, the widow would be able to make bread, and if any were left, she would be able to sell it in order to gain a little money. We're not told if the situation was the same in the heathen nations. But even if it were, There was a famine in the land, and there was no grain to glean. There was no growth of anything. All was dying. And so this poor woman had no hope of income, no hope of food. All hope was gone. And because of the situation, even those who in the past may have helped had nothing to spare. In our verse, or in the passage we've read, we see just how dire her situation was. Verse 12 tells us, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." No finance, no food. The little that she had was almost gone. But you know, friends, her troubles were not to end there. Notice also with me that this widow woman had family problems. We see that as she was concerned for her son. I'm sure there was fear and there was pain in her life because she knew of the fate that awaited her son. As parents, those of you who are parents, I'm sure we all know that family problems come in all shapes and in all sizes. It is only natural that we are concerned for our loved ones when we see them in some sort of trouble. Again, Scripture gives us many examples to learn from. We could think of the strife between Isaac and Jacob and the problems that that entailed, or Joseph and his brothers, the love and heartbreak of a father for a son. What of David as he grieved over a sick child? Or the devotion of Hannah with Samuel. And there are many others in the Old Testament and New. I suppose one of the most well-known is that of the prodigal son. We read of his selfishness, and yet we see a father's display of love. But here I see a mother, and I believe an only child, and she is grieving over a problem that she cannot solve. Each avenue has been explored. She has made sacrifices, I'm sure. Perhaps eating less than she needed in order to try and give her young son the best chance of coming through this difficulty. Perhaps there is a mother or father here this evening, maybe listening online, and your heart is breaking over a child. Perhaps like the father of the prodigal, you're at wit's end. Did you ever consider that this father must have been praying and waiting and watching for that wandering child to return? I don't believe he just happened to look out the window one morning and seen that child coming in the distance. No. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20 tells us, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Such was his love and concern that it never left him. Yea, it probably consumed his every thought. Consider David in turmoil over a sick son. We read that David sought God for the child and fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Dear friend, whatever your situation, there is no pain greater than that of grieving over a child. The situation was no different for this poor woman. See your words again with me. "Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Lack of finance and food really paled into insignificance in comparison to the thought of the death of her dear son. But alas, what could she do? For this woman, there was truly but a step between her and death, and between her son and death. The time of giving up hope was almost upon her. For after this little food was finished, it was only a matter of time before their already malnourished bodies would fail and they would be ushered out into God's eternity. And only a miracle could turn things around. Perhaps you feel tonight like there's nothing left in your life. You don't know which way to turn. You have searched for the answer to your particular problem. But each way you turn, there only seems to be another dead end. Oh, you need a miracle. For it is the only way out that you see. Dear friend, don't despair. I want you to look with me and consider that there was a faithful servant. A faithful servant. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. We notice that Elijah, God's child, God's servant, was obedient to the word of the Lord. And this was not the first time. He had delivered a damning message to Ahab and the nation of Israel. He had went into the solitude of Cherith. And now the Lord was asking him to go to a heathen land and to seek out a widow who would provide for him. Well, the Lord certainly knew how to test Elijah's faith. The Lord's first message for him to go to Ahab, we could say, required bravado. And this message perhaps would have seemed bizarre. What? Go to a heathen city? And to a woman, and a poor one at that, in the midst of a drought and a famine? But Elijah had known the protection of the Lord his God thus far, and he knew that he would not fail him now. Sometimes the Lord asks us as Christians, as believers, to step out of our comfort zone. And I believe this would have been the case with Elijah. And whatever situation the Lord has us in today, he has been preparing us for it if we're trusting in him, brothers and sisters. And his grace is sufficient for us. But he has given us his word to proclaim. And we must be faithful in doing so. In verse 10, at the end, we read Elijah's words. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Well, the request to the widow may have seemed rude and selfish, but this was what he commanded. And so he followed the word of the Lord. The request of the faithful prophet came to this lady with an unfailing promise. Elijah said unto her, Fear not, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Friends, this was a heathen woman to which the promise was given. Why should she believe the word of this man who claimed to bring a message from his God? I believe that there may have been a number of reasons. She may have heard of how in the past Jehovah had delivered his people from Egypt and given them victory after victory over the other nations round about. She may have heard of this man Elijah who had proclaimed that the God of heaven would shut up the rain as judgment upon the land. There is also a possibility that she may have considered the fact that she had nothing else to lose. From her own lips, though, we see that she had respect for the prophets and his God. Verse 12, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Friends, her actions, her obedience to the word of God's faithful servant would ultimately be for God's glory. I believe that the Lord was working in her life, preparing her to bring her to faith in Elijah's God, the true and living God. And the promise was unfailing. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. But I want us to notice that the promise to this lady was only temporal. It was only temporal. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." The oil and the meal would only last until the rain came again. Then she would be back to being a poor widow woman who would in many ways have to fend for herself. Elijah that day, as he approached Zarephath, would bring a message from the Lord. But it was only of temporal salvation for the widow and her son. But I want us to notice that this woman was not just facing temporal problems. There was the eternal matter. There was an eternal matter. And friend, listening on this evening, you may be facing temporal problems. Problems that you see no way out. But have you considered eternity? Have you considered eternity? "Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." This woman did not desire death. Oh, far from it. Far from it. And yet, it was coming quickly her way. Sadly, there are many in our communities, and they find themselves in difficult situations. They don't know what way out there is. Without Christ as Saviour, our temporal problems, friends, are insignificant in comparison to our eternal problems. Well, the problems that we face in life may be difficult. But friend, can I tell you, if you're not trusting Christ this evening, then the problems that you have tonight are nothing compared with what will face the lost sinner in that place called hell. And the Bible speaks of a very real place called hell. It is that place that the unsaved will pass out into once they leave this scene of time. Well, there will be those that will tell you, "Oh, you'll go to purgatory. And you never know, one day maybe you'll get to heaven." My friend, God's word speaks of no such place. We read, the Lord speaks of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died. And the poor beggar Lazarus died. And we read that in hell, the rich man opened up his eyes, lifted up his eyes, and he saw Lazarus sitting in Abraham's bosom. You say, I believe in a place called heaven, but no, that place for hell, no, I'm not so sure about that. My friend, on the authority of God's word, there is a real place called hell for those who go out of this life rejecting Christ as Lord and Saviour. Life at best is very brief. Is that not what the hymn writer penned? The psalmist tells us that his life is compared to a handbreadth, and his age is nothing before God. James compares it to a fading flower, as grass, as a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. But praise God, there is salvation for the eternal as well as the temporal. Matthew 18:11. The Lord says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Praise God. Those without hope. Those for whom life is difficult. Those with problems. Family problems. Financial problems. I'm sure we all know those well-known words in John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise God, there is salvation. And there is eternal security. But the flip side of the coin, as we say, is that he that believeth on him, believeth not, is condemned already. He that believeth not is condemned already. And friend, whatever your situation is, there is nothing that can compare with the torments of hell. Tonight we have considered a woman with financial problems, family problems, and she faced eternity. But we have seen a faithful servant who delivered an unfailing promise. Friends, the salvation that Elijah brought to that woman that day, it was a word from the Lord, but it was temporal. But you know, the word that Elijah brought, it was without price. He did not say, go to that lady, go and do such and such and such and such. He simply asked her to believe, to trust what he had said, to have faith in his word, the word that he had brought from the living God, and to obey. Oh, I'm sure that lady had tried many, many means. Perhaps even prayed to the heathen gods of her nation, but they were of no use. All her prayers had accomplished nothing. No, she was tried and tested. Now all she had to do was accept the promise of Elijah's God. Perhaps you have tried all your options, dear friend. And yet you still refuse to accept the promise of God's word. Oh, I'll keep trying. I'll keep trying. Perhaps one day this will all be sorted out, and perhaps one day if I live a good life, if I say a wee prayer, then God will accept me and life will be better on the other side. And yet you refuse to accept Christ as the only way of salvation. Friend, tonight, will you not repent of your sin? Will you not take God at his word? God's word tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, the message of the gospel is so simple. Simply trust and believe. Will you not trust Christ this evening? Oh, your sin separates you from God. But tonight you can know forgiveness of sin if you will only come in faith and repentance. Dear friend, I'm not saying that the Lord will take away all your financial problems. I'm not saying that he will take away all your family problems. But praise God, if you trust him, you can cast your cares and your problems upon him. And what I am saying is, he is that friend that will stick closer than any brother. And he will give you strength for the day ahead. And praise God, you can have assurance of your sins forgiven. And you can know with certainty that one day when you pass out into God's eternity, that you will go to heaven to be with him. Will you not believe God's word this evening? I pray that if there is one, and you have exhausted all your means, that you will come to realize that the only way of salvation is by trusting in Christ. The precious Son of God left the splendor of heaven, and he came and he died upon Calvary's cross. Oh, he was rejected of men. They took him and they beat him and they bruised him, and they nailed my precious Savior to the cross. Why? So that his precious blood would be shed for sinners like you and I. And the wrath of God would be satisfied. The message of God, the gospel, is simply trust and believe. Will you not trust him tonight? Will you not accept his way of salvation? Let's close in a word of prayer. Friends, this evening, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your problems are, you can bring them before the Lord. I praise God that at the age of 10, he saved me. And he has kept me and he has helped me through the difficulties that have come along my way. And praise God, I know that one day I shall go to be with him in glory. And the problems of this world will not compare with what I shall see when I see my Savior face to face. Praise God, he sent his Son for those who would call upon his name. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for help this evening. Lord, we thank thee that thy word is living and is true. Lord, we thank thee that thou didst send Elijah to the home of this widow woman. Lord, that thy glory was revealed. Lord, we thank thee that the end of that chapter that we can read that woman said, "Now I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth." Lord, we believe that that woman put her faith and trust in Elijah's God. And praise God, Elijah's God still reigns. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst speak to men and women and boys and girls. Lord, that this evening that they would repent of their sin, that they would turn from their rebellion to God and that would trust in Christ as the only way of salvation. Lord, as the voice of man grows silent, we pray that thou would speak on. Continue with us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.